Welcome to Data Science Now, a podcast by Cluster, about the latest trends in data science with your host, Fabio Vasquez. In today's episode, we'll be discussing knowledge data science, Python for data science, and how to improve your writing with Python. Follow us on social media at Cluster Team. This is Data Science Now.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first ever episode of Data Science Now. I'm thrilled to have you all here. And so this is going to be very interesting. We're going to be talking about data science, technology, the latest trends we have, my latest articles too. And as you could see, the idea for the day is to talk about three topics. So the first one is going to be knowledge data science. I'm going to talk about that later. Python for data science and my latest article on how to improve writing with data science and Python. So let me get started with the first topic. Knowledge data science. What's that? A few months ago in November, I wrote an article called exactly like that. Knowledge data science. And I defined the new field that I imagine will be the next or the future of data science. So if you follow me on Medium, if not, please do. You know that I've been talking about semantics, ontology, and knowledge graphs for a few months now, I think a year now. And after all the review I've been doing for the different topics in semantics and all of the connection with data science, I realized that it's not only a tool for data engineering. It's not only a tool for creating better data sets. It's also a tool that will allow data science to change the world and to change the way it's working right now. So I'm going to start this topic by saying this. When I started in data science about 6 or 7 years ago, we had no idea, at least I had no idea, what's going to be the future of the field. I was just doing machine learning and trying to understand things but I have no idea on the path that we're going to follow. So after studying all these years and writing articles and working for companies and teaching data science, I realized that there's something missing in our field. And what is missing is the knowledge part. So all the time in data science, we start looking for data, we clean the data, we analyze the data. After that, we start thinking about statistics and different tests for our information. We create models and then we deploy them. But there's an important part here that the beginning of our journey is always focused on the data. And I am exhausted of creating large queries just to get a simple information from a database. Don't get me wrong. SQL is very important. SQL is an amazing language that you can use to understand data and to retrieve information from databases. But I think it's time we do something different, something simpler to think about. We don't think in tables. We humans don't think in relationship between primary keys and some stuff like that. But when we start creating a graph on a board, it's super simple to understand. So that's the thing I discovered. We shouldn't be just focusing on knowledge graph and semantics as a part of, or like the beginning of data science, but as a whole field. And I'm gonna read to you what I said in this article I mentioned. This is called, if you want to find it, Knowledge Data Science with Semantic Technologies. I published this on November 28th last year. So if you really want to understand this article, you need to read three other articles I wrote. One is called On Data and Science, where I talk about the importance of data in the scientific world. The second one is Building the Future of Data Science, where I talk about, this is like my first step in the beginning of this new field that I'm trying to talk about. And finally, ontology and data science, and the concept of ontology. When we think about knowledge and how to represent knowledge, an amazing concept that helps us is ontology. And you can think about ontology on, I mean, if you go to simple words like the study of what there is, but when you talk about computing and science, it's simple to think about ontology as the connection between things, like how to make these relationships important. And this is what has been people have been doing this for several years now, something called the semantic web. And now it's time for data science and machine learning to incorporate all of that information. So again, you'll find those articles in the article I mentioned before. And I'm trying to define a new field again. It's called knowledge data science. And I'm going to read to you my definition of the field. So, knowledge data science is a resolution to business problems through mathematics, programming, scientific methods, and semantic technologies. When I mention semantic, I'm talking about technologies that can understand data, not just represent data, that can help us understand what is inside of our information. That involves the creation of hypotheses, experiments, and tests through the analysis of data, the generation of predictive models, inside of a knowledge system for... So we need something different here. We need a system to represent knowledge. And this is what's different between this definition and what I gave before about data science. Now we have two important things here. We have semantics, and we need a way of understanding and putting into words a knowledge system for data science. So when you think about that, there's something missing, and that is that it has to be possible to transform problems into well-posed questions. Not everything can be solved with data science, again. And these systems of representation of knowledge and semantics will help us understand better, and it will help us transform problems into well-posed questions. After that, you will need to respond to the hypothesis in a creative way. Creativity is something super important in data science and in science in general. You need to be able to take information and models and knowledge from different places and take them and use them to solve hard problems. Finally, it must include the effective communication of the results obtained on how the solution adds value to a company. Data science is something very close to the business. It's a science, but it needs to add value. If you're not adding value and you're just creating models, you're not doing anything. It doesn't matter if you can create 1,000 models in your computer. If they're not deployed and they're not adding any value to your company, they're not going to be helpful for the whole thing. So, the first thing, this is a new way of thinking about our field where we don't know. I'm not sure that this is going to be the future of the field. This is my proposal for that. But if that's the case, we need to get and understand more stuff that like graphs. We need to understand ontologies. We need to understand semantics. And we need to see and use different systems that we're not used to. So this new field that may happen in the next years, I took the idea from something called knowledge engineering. You can find that online. And the idea is, like, is this going to work for us? I mean, is it going to be better for us for understanding the information we have? I mean, I don't want to spend 80% of my time trying to clean my data. That shouldn't be the case. We need to spend 80% of our time creating and adding value to our company. So I think these additions of semantics and ontologies and the way we represent our information can be better for us. And so if you want to read more about that, you'll find that on Medium. You can follow me on Medium. If you want to follow me on Medium, it's medium.com/@FabioVasquez. You need to add the at. If you don't add the at, it's going to be an error. So I normally write 2 articles per week, or that was the idea I had in my mind in the beginning of my writings. So, and I'm trying to do this year, and I'm going to be trying to add more articles to my portfolio, and you can just follow me there, or you can follow me on LinkedIn and you'll find that. Okay, so we have another topic that's going to be important for thinking about the future of our field, and it's Python and data science. If you know me for somewhere, you know that I love Python, and I've been using Python for several years now. I mean, I came from R. That was my language when I was starting in the field of data science. But then I realized that if I really want to create like a whole system, we need a more powerful language. And I think 2014, I thought the language was going to be Scala. And if you were inside the big data world at that time, you may remember that everyone was talking about the revolution that's going to happen, and R is going to be replaced by Scala. And so I learned Scala, and it's an amazing language. I loved it. So if you really want to know a hard language that's interesting and useful, that's the one. But suddenly Python started to grow and grow and grow. And so I tried to stick with R, but when everyone else was using Python, when everyone else was starting to create libraries for Python, I had to transition. So very soon I'm going to be launching a new course in Cluster that's going to be about Python and data science. And I'm going to be launching a lot of different courses about how to use Python to really be an amazing data scientist. But remember, programming is a tool. That's not the final thing you need to learn if you want to be a data scientist. If you really want to learn data science, if you really want to be a data scientist, you need to transform businesses. You need to be able to listen to problems and solve them. And one of the tools you have for that is programming, of course. But it's not the most important thing. You need to understand the business. You need to understand the context of your problems. And after all of that, you can start thinking about programming. So again, Cluster is my new company, and the idea of Cluster is to create courses that will really help you transition into a data science position, or maybe improve the way you think about data science. So if you have any questions, by the way, please type them on LinkedIn. I'll be reviewing them very soon. So Python, as I mentioned, is a complete language. You can do anything you want with the language. And suddenly, when I started watching and seeing courses for other people, it's very common that you're taught Pandas, NumPy, scikit-learn. And don't get me wrong; those are great libraries. They're amazing. They have a lot of functionalities, and I use them all the time to do my work. But there's a revolution happening in Python, and it happened like 5 years ago. If you go there and you go to GitHub, you'll find amazing libraries like Dask, Spark. You have libraries like Teapot. You have libraries like Keras, TensorFlow. And all of these amazing libraries, those are the ones you have to focus right now if you really want to be up to date. You need to understand Pandas. I'm not the biggest fan of library. I like it. I use it. But there's a lot of different ways of working with data now in Python. You have Rapids from NVIDIA. You have Dask, as I mentioned before. It's an amazing library for distributing your computations in Python. You have Spark. And if you know me, I've been writing a lot of articles about Spark, and I love Spark. It's an amazing collaboration for big data. And I think it's one of the possible futures of our field is Spark is going to be all the way. And right now, if you check for data science position, it's probable that you're going to be asked to know some Spark code and how to program in Spark. Finally, I think the new trend for Python, it's going to be also creating dashboards. This library Dash by Plotly is awesome. You really have to check it. If you don't know Dash, you can find it like dash.plotly.com. I'm not entirely sure, but just type Dash Plotly and you'll find it. It's awesome. I mean, you really need to know some JavaScript or HTML. It's not as simple as Shiny from R, but it's very powerful. There's another library called Bokeh that is awesome too, and you can create dashboards with them too. But there's a whole field on also deploying models with Python. So not only like for modeling and programming and cleaning data, you can even deploy your models now. And you'll find, I don't know, like 100 different ways of doing it. I think the easiest one is to really think about what you need. Again, programming is a tool. You don't need to marry Python, okay? You don't need to even love Python. You need to be able to use it because it's the most important language for data science at the moment. And I'm getting a question here saying, how is the form I can learn more effective Python language? So that's a very good question. So Python is huge, but there are great ways for you to learn Python right now. Right now, I'm working in a course. It's a collaboration between DataCamp and Emeritus, the company I work for. And we have a course that contains 8 different DataCamp courses. And it also contains a lot of live tutorials I created for Python. So you can learn from me. But yeah, if you don't want that, there's a lot of different ways of doing that. There are great tutorials online. There are other courses by Coursera. You have EDX courses. But really focus on the things you want to be using. Check the syllabus of the course and see if that's going to be simpler for you. It's going to be too simple for you. It's going to be hard for you. And find the perfect spot. I think that if you really want to master Python for data science, you need to understand data structures. You need to understand how to program, like really need to code. You need to code. You don't need to be an expert in Pandas. You really need to be able to create algorithms. And you also need to understand the libraries for Python for data science, like Pandas, Scikit-learn, NumPy. You need to know Matplotlib, Seaborn. You have to master those 5. And then when you master those 5, you have to go and learn Spark. You need to learn TensorFlow. You need to learn Keras. You need to learn Dask. And all of these different libraries will transform the way you work with the language, and it will help you a lot. I think that my final advice, if you really want to learn Python effectively, is to use it in some projects. So find something you like. Get some data from Kaggle, from DataWorld, from open data sets from Google, or whatever you want. And create something, create a project. I think you'll learn a lot when you deal with real information, when you deal with real problems. That's going to be the way you really understand how to use the programming language. I have a question about Julia. And Julia is an amazing language, too. When I was studying my master's, Julia was starting to become like the language for science. Like, people were using C++ and Fortran, but it was pushed like, yeah, the future is going to be Julia for science and all of that. So after 4 years later, this is my view on the language. Julia is awesome. It's faster than Python, but the community is not that big yet. So what's the problem with that? Because this is an open source language. There's a lot of things that needs to happen for it to become an important language. If you to learn, understand, and then people to start creating good libraries for it. For data science, they have great libraries for machine learning, for plotting. They have data frames also. So I have a question here. Can you send us the link of our reference of a company I work for is emeritus.org. And the other one is the company I'm creating is called cluster.net. Again, I'm going to be launching courses there in Spanish and in English. And they're going to be about data science, and we're going to have a different set of different courses for you. So make sure to be there. And if you have any questions, please contact me. So the final topic of the day is an article I wrote. When did I do that? So January 14, that means yesterday, yes. So in this article, so if you follow me on Medium, you know that I write a lot of articles. And to be honest, I use a program or a system called Grammarly, and it helps me understand if my writing is getting good, or if I have errors, syntax errors, like spelling errors, or if how readable is my text. And then I started thinking, how do they do it? I mean, how do they know when my text is good or bad? I mean, it's easy to check for spelling errors maybe, but how do they know if this is a text like that or this? So I started looking for a Python library that helped me understand how to do this. And I found one. It's called TextStat. And TextStat, you can find that. I'm going to send the article link here on LinkedIn. The article is called Write Better Stories with this Python Tool. And it has a lot of great functions. And maybe it defined a lot of different tests for you to see if your text is good or not. So if you use this library, the TextStat, that the one I'm talking about in this in this session right now, you're gonna be able to return different sets of scores that are based on the most of them on the U.S. education system, and they're gonna find how easy is from someone from certain age to read your article. Like someone needs to have to be in the 12th grade or the 11th grade to read your article. That's important because now you need, I mean, if your article was intended for children for some reason, then you see that, okay, no, I need to go there and review what I'm talking about because this will not be understood by a kid. If your idea was that the article can be read by everyone, so maybe that's okay for you. Or if your article is supposed to be read by someone in college, then this program will tell you. It will tell you how easy or hard is for someone to read your text. And you will find a lot of different examples there. If you go to my article, you'll find ways of retrieving different scores and tests. For some text, I just put there basic text from one of my articles to test, but you can try wherever you want. I also created a GitHub repo. And in the GitHub repo, you have all the things you need to run this code. You have the text, you have the libraries, and you can just clone it and test it for your own. This library works for English mostly, but it also works for Spanish. So in the end of the article, I have an example in Spanish. Sadly, it only implements one function. It's called the Fernandez Huerta formula, and it's a variant of the Flesch reading is formula that you can read there, and it will help you understand how easy is for your article to read. So this is not only for writing blogs, okay? This is for you as a person. If you write reports to your boss, if you write on your free time, if you really want to write a book, whatever. I use now a combination between Grammarly, that is a paid service, and this is because this is a free service. You only need to know the basics of Python to be able to use this library. And I created here a very simple tutorial to follow to retrieve all the information. One of the things I discovered when creating this article was a method. I started thinking. So you have like, 20 different scores and functions in this library. And if you see my code, I'm going there and I'm using the methods one by one. But then I started to think, is it possible to run every method inside of a class? So I couldn't find this easily online on Stack Overflow or Google, and I have the code there in this article. So if for some reason you want to know how to run every one of the functions inside of a class, like methods, you'll find this in this article. It's a very interesting thing that it uses the eval method that can transform words into functions or something like that. So it's a very interesting thing I discovered while writing this article. Finally, I also use a different library called AutoCorrect. And it was for correcting the spelling of words. But this library goes a step forward. What this library does is not, it won't tell you if you have an error. I mean, it can tell you, but it has a function called, it's called check. That's it, from Speller. And if you pass a text with errors, it will fix it for you. I mean, it won't tell you where the errors were, but it will fix them for you. So I have a simple example there where I misspelled some of the words, and I just ran the code check text, and that's it. And it helped me fix all my errors with a simple click. So that's just super simple. Those two libraries, AutoCorrect and TextStat, can help you write various stories. Articles, blogs, reports, or just a book, a novel, whatever you want. So you can find that article online, and you can talk to me if you really want, if you have any questions about how to use the library or whatever. I did not create the library, by the way. There's a guy, let me remember, it's called Shivam, the person who created the library, Shivam Bansal. So if you're there, thank you very much for creating this for the world. But I just created like a tutorial on how to use it. So let me check for questions. Again, this format, I'm here if you are just entering the session, is called Data Science Now. I'm going to be here every Wednesday at night for some people, in the morning for others, talking about the latest trends on data science and also the articles I've been writing. This is cool because you can read from, you can hear it from me if you don't want to read it. But I mean, if you really want to have all the picture and the whole thing I'm talking to talk about, please go and read my articles. So I have two questions here. What tips will give for someone that wants to begin a portfolio of projects of data science and search the first work of data science? So that's a very good question. I think I mentioned this before in the session, but if you like something like healthcare, you like something from government, climate, if you like something like from retail, right now you can find data for all of that for free. So just go there. I mean, you can go to Kaggle, to Data World, you can go to Open Data Sites, to Open Data Sets from Google, and you can download data for free. And if you go to Kaggle, you'll find a lot of great notebooks with the whole thing, like from the raw data to an actual model. If you're not an expert on how to be a data scientist, on how to, or what's the process of data science, you can start by seeing tutorials. And then you can test it for your own with some data you like or some data you really understand or want to see. So I think that's my advice. Take something you like and try to solve it. And you can even find people online that are working in the same thing as you. And you can create like a study group and solve with them a problem. I may do something like that in the near future. Please just wait for that maybe. But if you want to wait for that, you can get started by yourself and just download data and start a project. I want to study, this is a different question. I want to study and I want to be a specialist in this. Should I start from data science, machine learning, or AI? What are the recommendations for I can be a specialist in these areas? So if you want to be a specialist, please understand that that takes years. If you go online and search for online courses, you'll see a lot of master data science in 1 month, become an expert in 2 months. That's not going to happen. And that's the truth. I mean, no course and not even a career will make you an expert. Like if you go and study physics like I did when I graduated, I didn't say now I'm an expert in physics. That's not the way it works. And you should know that. If you really want to master a craft, you need to practice a lot. You need to have experience. You need to understand the theory. And that takes years. Sometimes it can take 5 years, 10 years, or even more. If you don't have 5 years to be an expert in data science, that's the case of most people. So this is my recommendation. You need to understand several things to become a data scientist. One of them is the concept of science. You need to understand what's a test, what's a hypothesis, what's a result, what's an observation. So read about science. Start with there. Then understand mathematics. You need to know calculus, algebra. You need to understand the basics of statistics. You really need to master statistics before being a data scientist. And there are great courses for that. After that, you can get started with programming. I mean, you can do this in parallel. You can start by programming in Python while learning statistics, because there are a lot of libraries in Python that can help you implement statistics. So that's a very cool way of like going ahead with that. And the most important part, again, is how to solve problems with businesses. So you need to understand how to create a project. You need to understand how to run a project. What it takes for you to transform a question from an executive into a solution that can change the way something works. So that's not that easy to get from courses. So my advice is to go there and do an internship in data science, or maybe take a junior role on the field. And you will see it will help you a lot to understand the process of the business. And then with all the things you've been learning about programming and mathematics and all of that, you'll have it. You'll have it, believe me. So I'm going to take the final question here before ending. And it says, I've already gone through business solutions development and business intelligence industries, but it's hard to get into the data science industry. How to get into it? So if you are someone who's been working in BI for the past years, and you know like Excel and Power BI and Tableau and all of these things, what is missing from you is to be able to code, to learn how to create programs, and to really understand the mathematics of machine learning. I mean, I didn't mention machine learning before because that will come... I mean, when you go to statistics, it will come after that. But you really need to be able to create models. You need to be able to predict stuff. And for that, you need to understand the actual model. You need to understand all of the math behind it. You need to understand the algebra and the calculus behind it. Some people will tell you, you don't need math to be a data scientist. Don't worry about it. And that's a big mistake. Because if you really want to understand what you're doing, you need to know the internals of what you're doing. So the transition from BI to data science is just learning more about programming, learning more about math, understanding how to get these three important pillars I just mentioned into a field, and read a lot of blogs, read articles, take courses. I mean, it's going to take time, but it can happen. Okay, so I think this was it for the first episode of Data Science Now. Again, thank you very much for watching me. I'm live at LinkedIn, but tomorrow you're going to get this episode on Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere else. So this is going to be the process. I'm going to be talking live on Wednesdays, And on Thursdays, that's going to be as a podcast. So make sure to check tomorrow on Spotify for Data Science Now, and hopefully you'll be able to hear all of these things I'm telling right now. So thank you to my amazing crew, Gabriel, Hazel, and Aileen, for helping me with this transmission and all of the next ones. And have fun. Never stop learning. Bye-bye.